All right, Rabbi Osei, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. Again, a thank you to Ari for the beautiful breakfast spread this morning. And Yashar Koach, again, you know, it's always, there are certain mornings that to a certain degree test the daf yomi medal. So usually they are, you know, Shushan Purim, right? And then again, after Shushan Purim is usually Slichos, the Sunday after Slichos. So again, Yashar Koach to everyone for being here, and let's continue. So again, we're going to begin about, so we left off yesterday, two lines from the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Choshech, so remember again, the Gemara was describing the different rakios, the different levels of the heavens. So the Gemara quoted it in yesterday. We learned the Choshech va'anon va'arafel makifin oso, that again in this last level of Shamayim, the Choshech, the darkness, clouds, and arafel also is this mixture of fog and fire, ultimately envelop it, shene emar, because he quotes over here the pasuk. Quotes over here the pasuk from Tehillim. Yosh es choshech sisro sevivosav sukhaso chashchas mayim avi shechakim. So the Gemara says, The Gemara asks, but is that true? Is there darkness in the celestial sphere? Vaksiv, but the pasuk says, v'hu, and it quotes over here now, the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk in Daniel, who gala amikasa umisatarasa yada mabechashocha unahora imei shrei. So the Gemara talks about over there that Kadosh Baruch Hu is enveloped again in the depths, but ultimately nahora imei shrei, that there is always nahora. Nahora is light. There is always light with Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning there is no darkness ultimately with God. So the Gemara says the following: Lo kashya ha tap of Yud Gimel ha bebati gavai ha bebati barai. So the Gemara says bebati gavai. Rashi says nahora ameshara. In the inner chambers of God, there is no darkness; there is only light. But in the outer chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the outer chambers of the celestial sphere, there is in fact darkness. Va'amrav Acha bar Yaakov. Old rakia echad yesh lemala merashi achayos. There is one additional rakia. There is one additional heaven, one additional sky above the ones that we spoke about, above the heads of the chayos, the chsiv. Remember, again, also we touched on the chayos. The Gemara is going to get more into them in the coming days. Chayos are a type of angels, but they're not just, remember, there are different gradations of angels. So chayos represents some of the highest levels of angelic existence. So the Gemara says there's one more rakia that is on top of the heads of the chayos, the chsiv. So quotes the Gemara over here, quotes from the pasuk, from Yecheskel, Udimos al roshe hachayo, rakia ke'en hakerach hanora natui arosheim milamalo. Literally, there is an image on top of the heads of the chaya, a rakia, or a sky, ke'en hakerach, literally like the snow, hanora, that is great. And actually the Navi goes on to explain that it's this luminescent, very bright part of the rakia. So the Gemara says, ad kan yesh lecha roshus ladaber, mikan ve'elach ein lecha roshus ladaber. So also, the Gemara makes a very interesting statement. So remember, we've quoted a number of psukim from Yecheskel, and the truth is, remember I mentioned before that there's an interesting dispute regarding what exactly we mean when we speak about Ma'aseh Merkava. So according to some, Ma'aseh Merkava refers to the specific episode that happens in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel sees the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, really, it's the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Others explain that Ma'aseh Merkava refers to Ma'aseh Bereishis, creation story, and still others explain that Ma'aseh Merkava just refers to esoteric areas in the Torah. So here the Gemara is kind of going with the idea that Ma'aseh Merkava really refers to Yecheskel. So the Gemara says, okay, we've studied all of Yecheskel that we are going to study. Right? Pretty much now we've gone to where we're going to do. We're not going to expound anymore. So the Gemara says, Shekein Kasuv B'Sefer Ben Sira, because we learned in the Sefer Ben Sira, and again, the Gemara is going to discuss tomorrow a little bit more about Ben Sira. Ben Sira was a particular time Tchachem, and Ben Sira codified certain halachos. He lived during times of the second Beis HaMikdash. So it's written in the Sefer Ben Sira, B'Muflaga Mimcha Al Tidrosh. Something that is more wondrous than you, meaning something that is wondrous or unknown to you, do not go ahead and try to darshan. Or that which is hidden from you, don't try to uncover it. The mashar, she saw hisponin, but what you are permitted to go ahead and learn, that you should contemplate. Eimlocha isek benistaros. But you should not go ahead and what? Involve yourself in the hidden things. It was right, quite amazing. We just read this pasuk, right? Hanistaros la Hashem Elokeinu, vaniglos lanu vaneinu. So right, so the idea is that Ben Sira said, look, spend your time focusing on things that ultimately are within your comprehension, within your grasp, and you can understand. Do not spend your time delving into those topics that are beyond you. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Machuva heshiva so bas kola osarasha. So this is actually interesting. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, what answer did the baskol give to that rasha? What is this talking about? Bishar sha'amar, when he said, this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar said, Ela abama se'av, he's quoting over here, it goes from the pasuk in Yeshayo, I will literally go above the clouds, adame le'elyon, I will be like God. So we'll say this was the arrogance of Nebuchadnezzar. I will literally rise above the clouds and I will be like God. Yotzes Abbas Kalva Amra. So a heavenly voice came out and said, Rasha ben Rasha, ben Beno shal Nimrod HaRasha. You Rasha, the son of a Rasha, the grandson of Nimrod the Rasha. What did Nimrod do? Shehimrit kala olam kulo alav b'malchuso. That Nimrod, remember again, this is back in Bereishis, Nimrod caused all of humanity to rebel against the Ribono shel olam. Kama shnos of shadam. You Russia. Kama shnosav shal adam. Listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, how many are the years a man, right? How long does a man live? Shivim shana. So man lives on average 70 years. Shene emar, yemei shnosein abayim shivim shana, ve'im bigvuros shmonim shana. So Rabbi Yosef David HaMelech says that the years of man's life are 70, and if he lives to the years of gvur, if he lives to strength, 80 years, listen to this. V'halomina aretz ad l'rakia, mahalich chamesh me'oshana. They're both saying it takes, if you were to travel from the earth to the rakia. Now again, rakia obviously doesn't just mean sky, but as we've seen already before, it means some of the celestial levels of the sky. It would take man 500 years to travel from the earth to the rakia. V'ovyov shal rakia, and the thickness of the rakia, mahalich chamesh me'oshana, is spans would take man another 500 years to travel the width of the rakia, or the length of the rakia. Uvechein bein kol rakia v'rakia, and similarly again, there would be a journey of 500 years in between each rakia. And also remember again, we established on Yud Beis and Beis that there are at least what? There are at least seven rakios, and according to some, eight. L'mala mehen, I will say, above the seven rakios, what do you have? L'mala mehen, chayos hakodesh. Above the rakios, you have the chayos hakodesh. We'll say, so the chayos refer again to these type of angels. Ragli hachayos kineget kulam. Just literally the feet of the chayos are the same span as all of the rakios below. Karsuli achayos kineget kulan. The ankles of the chayos correspond to the size of, to the length of all of the rakios below. Shuki achayos, the lower legs of the chayos kineget kulan, correspond to all of the rakios below. Ruchuve chayos, the upper legs. The upper legs of the chayos kineget kulan correspond to the length of all of the rakios below. Yerechei achayos, the thighs of the chayos kineget kulan. Gufei achayos, the bodies of the chayos kineget kulan correspond again to the size of all the rakios below. Savari achayos, the necks of the chayos kineget kulan. Roshei achayos, the heads of the chayos kineget kulan correspond again to all the rakios below. Karnei achayos, the horns of the chayos kineget kulan. Okay, so now we'll say now, right? A couple of tens of thousands of years later, right? Now you've reached ultimately again. You've gone past the chayos. Then what happens? Lemala mehen, above them, kisei kavod is the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ragle kisei kavod, the feet of the divine throne, kineget kulam. Obviously, it's not saying the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara doesn't talk in terms of God. So again, the feet of the kisei hakavod themselves, kineget kulam, corresponds again to the length of all of the rakios below. Kisei HaKavod kineget kulan. The Kisei HaKavod itself corresponds to all everything below. And again, Melech El Chai V'Kayam Ram V'Nisa Shochin Aleim. And it's upon all of that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and what? Sits upon. V'Ata, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Nebuchadnezzar, the Baskel says to Nebuchadnezzar, V'Ata Amarta Ela Abama Se'av Adamele Elyon. you think that you could ever go ahead and be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you can't even reach God. You can't even reach God. You have 70 years, maybe 80 years, won't even get you to the first Rakia. It is a lifespan of man. Can't even get us to the first Rakia. It was so amazing. Ach, I'm going to tell you where you can go. This is rated G. Right? I'm going to tell you where you can go. Ach, el sha'ol toret al yarkasei bar. But you know where you can go? You can go to Gehenna. Right? You can ultimately, again, you'll go to the depths. You'll go sha'ol, to the pit. You'll go yarkasei bar, to the depths of the pit. Okay. V'lo b'merkav b'yachim. So now the Gemara goes on, quotes from the Mishnah, and says that Ma'aseh Merkava, the Gemara said two things. You shouldn't even teach to an individual student. And in fact, again, remember the Mishnah said that the only person who can learn Ma'aseh Merkava is who? Is the Ma'aseh, someone himself who has a Leiv Maven, someone who has an understanding heart, a Tam Tchacham, who feels he can understand these things, he can learn Ma'aseh Merkava. Tani Rabbi Chiya taught, Avamosrin lo Roshe Prakim. But you can go ahead, and if you have a student who's diligent, you can give them Roshe Prakim. So I'll say, what is Roshe Prakim? I mean, Rashi says, Roshe Parshio Sheba. You can kind of give them kind of like a general, almost like thematic overview of Ma'aseh Merkava, but you can't give them details. Am Rabbi Zeira, a Mosrin el Roshe Prakim el La'av Bezdin. So on the other hand, Rabbi Zeira said, no, it's not true. You, even Roshe Prakim, even just a general overview, only give to an Av Bezdin, head of the Jewish court. Ulechol Mishalibo Doig Bikirbo. Well, this is actually very interesting. And anyone literally whose heart is pensive, or whose heart worries within. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. That's very interesting. Shaliba doig, ve'ena mekel es rosho. Someone who does not engage in lightheaded or frivolous behavior. So an individual who is generally of a serious composure, to that individual you can go ahead and give over Rashi Prakim. Ike da Amri, others explain, v'hu shaliba doig bekerbo. Okay, excuse me. Ike da Amri, v'hu shaliba doig bekerbo. So we'll say others understand this to mean that Rabbi Zera is actually coming to go ahead and coming to qualify Rabbi Chiya's the previous statement, namely that even if you give it over to an Av Beis Din, you can only give it over to an Av Beis Din if what? If the Av Beis Din is someone who does not lend himself, who is not lent to frivolous behavior. Okay, I'm Rabbi Ami. In most Sisrei Torah, El Mish Yishma Chamisha Dvarim. So you can only give over the secrets of the Torah to someone who has within him these five qualities. Number one, what are the five qualities? Sar Chamishim. He is in command of 50. We'll say, the Gemara is going to define all of this in tomorrow's daf. Sar Chamishim. Niso Panim. We'll say, so Niso Panim sounds like he is someone of standing. Someone of standing, someone of stature. Yoetz v'chacham. He is someone ultimately, again, I should say actually like this. Yoetz, he is someone who is able to dispense advice. V'chacham charashim. He is a chacham who is there for other chachamim, who is able to train and give counsel to other chachamim. V'navon lachash. And he is a navon lachash. Literally, navon means someone who's wise. Lachash means a whisper. Again, the Gemara will define all of these terms. V'am Rabbi Ami. Ein Moshen Devei Torah La'Oved Kochavim. You cannot give over Torah, don't give over words of Torah, to a non-Jew, to an Oved Kochavim, Shene Emar, Lo'asachin L'chogoy, U'mishpatim Bal Yidoum. This is actually a very interesting interpretation of the Pasuk. You shall not go ahead and do this for all Goy, for any Goy. Now Goy over here in this context means a nation, a Gentile nation. U'mishpatim Bal Yidoum. Our laws should not be known to them. So we'll say it's interesting. The general discussion about teaching Torah to a non-Jew is quite interesting. Again, according to most poskim, that prohibition really only applies to Torah Shabbat Peh, like Gemara. It does not apply to Torah Shabbichsav. It doesn't apply to, again, Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Okay, not our topic for today. That's actually, we'll see that discussion is had extensively in Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. We'll see it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Ta Agmar Chamaseh Merkava. So this is a fascinating story. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, come and I will teach you the story of Ma'aseh Merkava. I want to teach you Ma'aseh Merkava. Amar Leit, so both say, Rabbi Elazar responded, Ilo Kashoy, I'm not old enough. I'm not old enough, meaning what he was saying is, I don't feel I'm really mature enough to be able to learn this. Ki kanach nafshet Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan died, Amarli Rabbi Asi said to Rabbi Elazar, the Talmud, Ta Come, I will teach you Maaseh Merkava. So what does Rabbi Elazar respond? It's actually very interesting. If I was worthy, if I was worthy, I would have learned from Rabbi Yochanan, your Rebbe, which was also his Rebbe. Meaning, so Rabbi Elazar responds, so we'll say, it seems to be what's happening over here is that Rabbi Elazar does not want to learn Maaseh Merkava. So when his Rebbe approaches him, he says that I'm not old enough. When his Rebbe dies, and now again, his new Rebbe comes along and approaches him and offers him, he says, if I was worthy, I would have learned it again from Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Rav Yosef hava gamer Maaseh Merkava. Rav Yosef was learned in Maaseh Merkava. Sabi de Pumbedisa havutar Maaseh Bereishis. The elders of Pumbedisa were well versed in the creation narrative. In Maaseh Bereishis, Amrulei, so the elders of Pumbedisa said to Rav Yosef, Ligmar lan Maaseh Merkava, teach us Rav Yosef Maaseh Merkava. Amrulu, Rav Yosef said to them, Agmurun li Maaseh Bereishis. You know what? I'll make you a deal. First, you teach me Maaseh Bereishis. Okay. So they taught him Maaseh Bereishis. Bas da Agmurun. After they taught him Maaseh Bereishis, Amrulei said to Rav Yosef, Ligmurun mar Maaseh Merkava. Okay, Rav Yosef, now your turn. You teach us Maaseh Merkava. Amrulehu Tanina Bahu. So Rav Yosef said, I learned Dvash vechalav tachas lishonecha. The pasuk says, quoting over here, the Pasuk Shira Shirim, literally, milk and honey, or I should say, honey and milk underneath your tongue. Dvarim hamesukin midvash mechalav yetachas l'shonecha. The areas of Torah that are sweet as milk and honey, you should keep them where? Keep them under your tongue, i.e. don't share them with anyone else. So this is quite interesting. So Rav Yosef, at the end of the day, does not share with them Maaseh Merkava, but gets from them, again, Maaseh Bereishis. Rabbi Avo said from here, from same idea, that there are certain areas of Torah that should not be shared with others, but he learned it from different pasuk. The pasuk says, Kivasim lilvushecha. The pasuk over here is quoting from Mishle, Kivasim lilvushecha, which literally means, Kivasim literally means sheep. What it means over here is the wool, right? The wool of the sheep shall be your clothing. Gemara Darshan, Dvarim shehein kivshuno shel olam yetachas lilvushecha. Those things that are kivshun, kivshun also means mystery. Those things that are the mysteries of the world shall be underneath your clothing. The idea is that there are certain areas of Torah that you should keep to yourself. Amrulei, so now I said that the elders of Pumbedisa are obviously very disappointed that they're not going to hear the Maaseh Merkava from Rav Yosef. So they say to Rav Yosef, listen, Taninan Buhu Ad Vayomer Eli Ben Adam. So they said to Rav Yosef, you know, we learned in Yecheskel the Maaseh Merkava until the section of Vayomer Lav Ben Adam Amot Al Raglecha Vadaber Osach. So we learned to the part where God says to Yecheskel, Ben Adam, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you, which is the beginning of Yecheskel Perek Beis. So Rav Yosef says to them, well, if that's the case, Amar Lehu, Hein Maaseh Merkava. If that's the case, you've already learned the real essence of Maaseh Merkava. So Maaseh, the Gemara raises the Kasha, Ad Heichan Maaseh Merkava, until what point in Yecheskel is Maaseh Merkava, Rebbe Omer, Ad Ve'ere Basra. So Rebbe says, until the second Va'era. Now we'll say that second Va'era, again, is the end of Perek Aleph in Yecheskel. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Ad HaChashmal. Until the episode with the Chashmal. Rabbi say the Chashmal is part of the image that Yecheskel saw, which has to do, again, Chashmal actually refers, you know, it's interesting. So modern Hebrew, Chashmal means what? Chashmal means electricity. So where do we get it? Where do you get in modern Hebrew that Chashmal means electricity? From Yecheskel. From Yecheskel, Rabbi say it comes from Maaseh Merkava, which is absolutely amazing. That's why, again, you know, I want to tell you something. I mean, Rav Kook felt, you know, there's a whole discussion. There are many who feel that modern Hebrew does not have sanctity. Lashon HaKodesh, which is biblical Hebrew, has sanctity. Rav Kook felt that even modern Hebrew has sanctity because so much of modern Hebrew still comes from biblical origins. So he takes something like Chashmal, which is such a common word. And where does it come from? It comes from the Maaseh Merkava, which is quite amazing. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, bless you. Sorry. So Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Ada Chashmal Va'ad Ve'ira Migarminon Mikan Ve'ilech Masinan Rashi Prakim. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, until the episode of the Chashmal and until this second Va'ira, we go ahead and we teach. But from here on in, that's already Mas and Merkava proper. We only give kind of general overview. Ika Damri, there are others explain Ad Ve'ira Misarinon Rashi Prakim Mikan Ve'ilech. So others say no, it's until the second Va'ira, the end of the first chapter of Yechezkel, that we give a general overview. Mikan Ve'ilech Imu Chacham Even Midaito. From here on in, if he's a Chacham, let him understand it himself. Imu Chacham Even Midaito. In Ilo Lo. But do we actually go ahead and darshan the part about the chashmal, which again is this, and we'll see what the chashmal is in just a moment. But there was a child who was learning the section of chashmal. And a bolt of light came out and consumed him. Which I will say would seem to be an indication that you probably shouldn't do it. Shiny Yanuka, the child case was different. Why? Delav Matuzmane, because that child was dabbling. Now I will say, child, by the way, doesn't have to mean a child. Child could also mean simply someone who was not ready for what it was that he was learning. He was a child, Ligabi, this situation is not mature enough to be able to learn this. To which the Gemara says, and that's the Gemara answers, Shiny Yanuka, Delav Matuzmane. A child is different because, again, the child's time to learn this particular topic had not yet come. Rav Yehuda, Bram Zohar Osa Ish Latova. So we learn that, again, we have a statement over here. This man is remembered for good. Who is that? Chanina ben Chizkia. Shmo. Chanina ben Chizkia was his name. Why? Why is Chanina ben Chizkia remembered for good? Ilmalehu, were it not for Chanina ben Chizkia, Nignaz Sefer Yechezkel. The book of Yechezkel would have been hidden away from the rabbis. Why? Shehayu dvarav Sosin Divrei Torah. Because obviously there are certain aspects of Yechezkel, that seemed to contradict certain aspects in the Torah. So ma asa, what did Chananya ben Chizkiah do? Also listen to this. Helulo gimel meos garbe shemen. They took up from to the attic, v'yashavali, they took him from to the attic, 300 barrels of oil. And he sat in the attic. And I said, what does he need with 300 barrels of oil in the attic? To fuel his light, to fuel his candle. So meaning, I will say, he was getting ready for the long haul. And what did he do? Vidarshu. And he went ahead and he darshan Sefer Yechezkel. So he essentially wrote a commentary on the book of Yechezkel that worked out all of the contradictions of Yechezkel. So he went through it, say, line by line. Ten Rabbanon. Ma'aseh b'tino ke'achad, she'yakori b'veis rabo, Sefer Yechezkel. So there was once a child, again, remember again, this Tinok Echad could be also the same idea like we saw before, who was learning Sefer Yechezkel in the home of his Rebbe, via Mevin Bechashmal. And this young child actually understood the whole Chashmal, the whole light revelation in Yechezkel. V'yatza Eish Mechashmal V'sarfaso. And literally the Eish, the fire of Chashmal, came out and consumed him. And as a result, Ubiksho Lignos Sefer Yechezkel. And as a result, they wanted to go ahead and hide away Sefer Yechezkel, because again, they felt actually it actually went ahead and posed a danger to people. So Amram Chanani ben Chizkiah. So Chanani ben Chizkiah said, "Im ze chacham hakol chachamim hein." Just because this particular child was wise and was able to understand it, will most people be able to understand it? Meaning, in other words, what Chananya was trying to say was that Yechezkel does not pose a risk to the general populace, because the general populace has no clue what it is that Yechezkel is actually saying. So the Gemara says, by the way, my chashmal, what is this chashmal? Now, don't get worried. We're just going to take a very superficial understanding of it. Move away from the windows. Move away from the windows, right? So we're going to take obviously a very superficial understanding of this. So my chashmal, Rabbi Yehuda said, chashmal refers to chayos ish memalalos. It refers to the chayos, the angels, who when they speak, fire comes out of their mouth. So we'll say, this is what Yechezkel was able to see. In the Mishnah we learned, itim. In the Mishnah we learned, itim chashos, itim memalalos. There are times when these chayos, these angels, are quiet, and there are times when they speak When God is speaking, chashos, these angels are quiet. But when God is not speaking, memalalos, the angels themselves are speaking. See, here again, the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk in Yecheskel again. So we'll say, literally translated, it means the chayos, which are the angels, ratza v'shov. So ratza v'shov sounds like they're going back and forth, kimara habazak, right? Like the image of the bazak. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? What is it? So we'll say, it's actually, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, ratza v'shov motzios roshan mitachas harakiyah hanatoi lemalo meroshein.
So we'll
say, so the image that actually points is that these chayos put their heads in the heavens in the rakia to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were so overwhelmed by what they saw that they quickly pulled it out, just like the lightning bolt, just like the Mara HaBazak, the lightning bolt comes out so quickly, so too again they move so quickly between the rakia. So it says, my Ratz HaVashov, what does it mean Ratz HaVashov? I'm Rav Yehuda, Ke'or Hayotze Epi HaKivshan. Ratz HaVashov means like a certain spark, a certain quickness, like the fire that comes out from the furnace. My kimara habazak. What does it mean? Like the mara habazak. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bachanina ka'or hayotzi mibein hacharasim. Like the fire that comes out from between the pottery shards. So Moshe is referring to over here the process of melting down gold. So they would use pottery shards, but when they would use those pottery shards, there'd be sparks of fire that would fly out. So what is mara habazak? Mara habazak means like sparks of fire that fly out. Ve'ere. And I saw, so we'll say again, still quoting from Yechezkel, and I saw, v'hinei ruach sa'ara ba min hatzafon, there was a great storm that was coming from the north, anon gadol, a great cloud, v'esh mitlakachas, there was fire mixed into it, v'noga lo saviv, u'mitocha ke'in chashma mitocha ish, and we'll say, listen to this, there was fire in the middle, v'noga lo saviv, and we'll say, now what is noga? Noga is light. There was light that enveloped it, and from within it, there was this type of chashmal, this light, mitocha ish, from within the fire. So the heichan also, so we'll say again, like the chashmal, right? Kein chashmal, good. So the Gemara says, Leheichan azon. I'm purposely being vague. I'm looking out for you guys, right? So Leheichan azon, right? So Leheichan azon. So where was this storm going? Amrav Yehuda, Bosse, this is amazing. Amrav Shahalach Lichbosh Eskola Olam Kula. Bosse, remember again, the vision of Yecheskel is a twofold vision. First of all, on one hand, again, it's a vision of destruction and galus. It's a vision of destruction and diaspora, because Yecheskel ultimately is seeing, again, what's going to happen under Nebuchadnezzar and subsequent destructions as well. But amazingly enough, it's also a visage. It's also a vision of redemption. It's also a vision of messianic redemption. And so that is everything rolled into this vision. So what is this great storm that he sees coming from the north? So the Gemara says, this is the storm that would overtake the entire world. Tachas Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. And I'll say it was the storm of destruction that would be led by none other than Nebuchadnezzar. The Chol Kach Lama. And why again? Why such a great storm to overtake the Jewish people to destroy the base? I mean, they're supposed to listen to this. It's so amazing. Because when the Jews fall, we don't fall to just anyone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only delivers us into the hands of the mightiest nations in the world. And I will say, if you think about it, it's really amazing. We don't really get conquered by nudniks. You know, if you think about it, we get conquered only by the mightiest nations. We get conquered by Babylon. We get conquered by Rome. We get conquered by Greece. We're conquered ultimately by the Nazis, Yimach Shemah V'Zichron, by Germany. You know, if you think about it, like, it's really quite amazing. And yet, by all of the other nations, we have many who pose a threat to us, but we hold our own connected to those nations. And every HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees fit to deliver us into the hands of another, it's always in the hands of a very mighty empire. So the Gemara says, that the nations of the world should not say, that God delivers his children into the hands of a lowly nation. So God says, "Mi garam li shei yasham shel avdei psilim?" What has caused, this is God speaking, what has caused me to become a servant to the idol worshippers? It is the sins of the Jewish people that have unfortunately caused this reality to me. Ve'ira chayos. And this, now, again, I'll say, now Yechezkel still describing the dream. So again, this is in Yechezkel, Perek Aleph. So as you see already, the bulk of Maaseh Merkava occurs in the first chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. So what happens? Ve'era
HaChayos. Is this the Ve'era that we were talking about before?
This is actually the first Ve'era. This is not the second one. This is the first Ve'era. Because again, if you notice, just in the Mesoras HaShas, the second Ve'era occurs in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Zayin. This is actually Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin. It was I don't know Yechezkel, I only know that because the Pesuk Gemara on the side of my Gemara. And I want to, I went to Yeshiva, I don't know Navi. So I want to be clear on that. You have a better chance if you didn't go to Yeshiva of knowing Navi. So again, I found out there's Yechezkel because I learned Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. So again, Yechezkel goes on and he says, Ve'ira ha'chayos v'hine ofen echad ba'aretz. Eitzel ha'chayos. So Yechezkel sees, Ve'ira ha'chayos, I saw these angels, v'hine ofan echad ba'aretz eitzel ha'chayos. I'm also like, ofan, you know, this is interesting, this is very lamaisa for us because we actually make reference to these in Shachris and Yom Noraim, depending on what girsa you use during Baruch Hu, right? Va'chayos yeshoreinu, right? We speak about the chayos, the erelim, the ofanim, the kruvim, all of these different things. So Yechezkel seeing them. So I saw the chayos, and there was an ofan. There was another angel that was there, ba'aretz, that was on the earth. Eitz la'chayos. Va'amra ba'lazar, ofan echad shu omed ba'aretz. There is one ofan who stands on the earth. Virosho magia eitzel achayos. But Rabbi say this ofan is so huge that what its feet stand on the earth, but its head reaches up all the way to the chayos. B'masni satana, we learned that what is he called? Sandalphon Shimo. His name is Sandalphon. His name is Sandalphon. Rabbi say what's interesting about this is Sandalphon sounds like what? Sounds like sandal. Now, it could be that he gets that name. Why? Because he is the one ofan who stands on the earth. He stands on the earth, but yet his head reaches all the way up into Shaim. His name is Sandalphon. So who is this Sandalphon? He is larger, he is taller than any of the other Malachim by 500 years, right? Because again, remember, which doesn't make sense, because remember, again, we spoke about before, it's a 500-year journey, at least to get up to the first Rakia, and his head is there already. So it's 500 years taller, so to speak, than any of the other Malachim. V'omeid achori ha-merkava. I will say, again, whatever this means, it's amazing. He stands behind the Merkava. He stands behind the chariot. Now, presumably, this is the chariot of the Ribono Shel Olam. He stands behind the chariot, the Kosher Kisarim Lekono. And he goes ahead and he weaves, he puts together the crowns for his master, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I'll tell you something very beautiful. Rashi here doesn't say it over here, but remember, the Gemara elsewhere actually says in Masechas Brachos, that brings down what are the crowns of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll say this is so important. When we answer Amen, or we say Yeheshme Rabba Mevorach, those words form a crown for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you can imagine this, the Ribono Shel Olam wears my, what does God wear? What does the man who wears everything wear? Right? What does the God who has everything? So the answer is, he wears my Amen. He wears my Yehesh Me Rabba. So Sandalphon, his job is to receive those Amens, to receive those Yehesh Me Rabba, and to weave them into a crown, proper crown for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ribono Shel Olam wears them. It's amazing. Ini, is that true? Vaksi, but we learn, Baruch Kivot Hashem Mimkomo. Blessed is God from his place. Now, both said the mashmos of that is what? Michlal de Mikomo Leka Diyodale. Now, what that sounds like is that where God is, nothing else is. Where God is, nothing else is. So, but yet, from this Gemara, it sounds like what? That Sandalphon is standing right there before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To which Rav Yossi says, you're right. Sandalphon is not behind God because no one is where God is, but rather, Da'amar Shem Ataga Va'azov Yosef Yerushalayim. Listen to how beautiful this is. That after I finish saying my Amen, after I finish saying Yeheshmei Rabbah, then what happens? It goes to Sandalphon. Sandalphon weaves it in the right way, whatever that means. Sandalphon pronounces the name of God upon the crown, and the crown of God, the crown immediately ascends to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rava, we'll say, it's amazing. Amar Rava, Kol Shra Yechezkel or Yeshaya. So we'll say, everything that Yechezkel saw, Yeshaya saw as well. So we'll say, now, the obvious question is that if you look at the way Yechezkel describes what he saw, so Yechezkel's description is much more detailed. Yechezkel describes everything, whereas Yeshaya doesn't. Someone says, why is that? It's amazing. So he says, Lema Yechezkel Doma, because what is Yechezkel compared to? Leben Kfar Sheras HaMelech. He's like a villager that saw the king. Ulema Yeshaya Doma, what is Yeshaya compared to? Leben Krach Sheras HaMelech. To, again, a city dweller saw the king. We'll say, now, what does that mean? We'll say, when the villager sees the king, so the villager, he's never seen anything like this. So when he sees the king, what? He can't stop describing the grandeur of the king. The city dweller, see, he's used to more refined things. He's perhaps seen the king a little bit more. So when he sees the king, it's amazing. But what? He's seen greatness already. So we'll say, the Gemara points out, Yechezkel, I should say differently, Yeshayo grew up in the royalty. Yeshayo grew up in the palace, right? He was related to the king. He grew up in royalty. So when he sees the grandeur of God, he already has a frame of reference in grandeur because, again, he understands human grandeur. Yechezkel did not grow up in royalty. Yechezkel grew up, he was like the villager. So when he has this image, he's so overtaken by it. In fact, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Ra'a Yeshaya, Yeshaya doesn't go into every single detail. Why? Shahaya ben Melachim. Yeshaya was the son of kings. The Gadol bePaltin. The Chin ben Krach. Haroes Hamelach. Eino Nifhal. Eino Tam. Eino Chash LeSaper. So ultimately, again, the Gemara just points out that their understanding of God, was very much rooted in their life experiences. So Yechezkel, who didn't have a frame of reference for greatness, goes into every single detail. Yeshaya, who doesn't. It's also very important, Yisod, that our understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam is very much rooted in our life experiences. We see God through the lens of our lives. That really colors our divine perception. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, what's the meaning of the pasuk that says, Ashir la Hashem ki ga'oga'a? Literally, I will sing to God because He is exalted above all. Shira l'misha miska el ageim. You should sing to God who ultimately, again, literally miska el ageim means is proud over all that are proud. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and has honor above all those honor things. The Amar Mar, Melech shebechayos ari. The king of all chayos. We'll say a chay is a non-domesticated animal. So the king of all chayos is the lion. Melech shebebehemos. The king of all animals is a shor, an ox. Melech sheba ofos, the king of birds, is Nesher, is an eagle. Va'adam miskai alehem, but yet man reigns above all of them. Va'akadosh Baruch Hu miskai al kulon, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is miskai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is glorified over all of them, including man. Va'al kol ha'olam kulon, about the entire world as well, over the entire world as well. Kasav echad omer, one pasuk says, Udimus p'neim p'nei adam, u'p'nei ariyei el ha'yam l'arba asam, u'p'nei shrami asma l'arba asam. I'm both saying, now the Gemara describes the Merkava. Now the Merkava, the chariot, was drawn by animals, but the Navi describes that the faces of these animals were not regular animals. Rather, again, what did they look like? They looked like the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right, and the face of an ox on the left. Uksiv va'arba p'nim la'echad. And yet the other pasuk says that each animal that was drawing the chariot, each animal had four faces. Pnei ha'echad pnei ha'kruv, u'pnei ha'sheni pnei adam, v'ashlishi pnei aryeh, v'arvi pnei nesher. One of the faces, again, was the face of a kruv. We'll see what a kruv means in just a moment. One was the face of a man, one was the face of a lion, and one was the face of an eagle. Rabbosai, v'ilu shar lo kachashev. Yet in the second description, what's missing? What's missing? The ox. So what happened in the first description of the faces of the animals that drew the Merkava? So we have an ox. In the second description, there's no ox. What's the pshat? Amar Yishlakish, listen to this. Yishlakish said, Yecheskel bikesh alav rachamim v'hav chol lekruv. So Yecheskel asked that the face of the shar be removed and it be replaced with a kruv. Why? Why does Yecheskel want the shar out? Amar the fun of ribono shel olam kategar ya'aseh sanegar. So Yecheskel said, can the prosecutor become the defender? Well, say, what does that mean? The shar is reminiscent of what? Of the chet ha'egel, the sin of the golden calf. The merkava is the chariot of God, which is supposed to advocate on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Could it be that the shar, the prosecutor, will now become the defender? So the Gemara says, my kruv, what's the kruv? So the Gemara says, Om Rabbi Avo, Kiravyo. Kruv is the face of a child. This is the face of a child. Shekein, Bebavel, Korin Liyanu Kiravyo. That in Bavel, they go ahead and they call the kruv a child. Or sorry, I should say, they call the child a kruv. So we'll say, amazingly enough, Omar li rapapa la abaye, elami'ato dechsiv p'nei echa p'nei akruv, or p'nei Hashem b'nei Adam. But if that's the case, it sounds repetitive, because now you just said what? You just said that one of the faces was a man, and one of the faces was a kruv, which seems to be that what? Two of the faces were the same. To which the Gemara says, v'ashlishi p'nei arye, v'aravi p'nei nesher, haynu p'nei kruv, haynu p'nei Adam. So isn't the kruv and the Adam the same face? The Gemara says, no, api ravravi v'api zutri. Rabbi say, one was the face of a child, and one was the face of the adult, which of course, again, are two different faces. Ksiv echad omer, one pasuk, excuse me, kasav echad omer, one pasuk says, sheish knafayim le'echad. One pasuk says, Rabbi say, each of the angels in the Ma'aseh Merkava had six wings, because of echad omer, v'arba aponim le'echad, v'arba kinafim le'achas. And the other pasuk says, what, Rabbi say? That they each had four wings. So which one is it? Lokasha, what says amazing? Kan bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Kan bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Well, so you want to hear something amazing? Listen to this. So one opinion says, when did the malachim have six wings? Six when the beis hamikdash was in existence, and they only have four wings when the beis hamikdash is not in existence. Suppose I, you think it's just us? You think it's just us who have a diminished stature in the absence of our magnificent beis hamikdash? It's not just us. There's less kedusha in the world. Even in Shamayim, there's less kedusha. Even the malachim, even the six-winged malachim, who normally flutter around without a care in the world, even they lost their wings in the absence of the Beis Hamikdash. So dramatic. So the Gemara says, Kivyachol shenismatu kanfei achayos. Right? So Kivyachol, the wings of the angels were diminished, again, in the absence of the Beis Hamikdash. So what's that? Twitch, the Gemara asks something so amazing. Hey minayu imut. Tell me, which wings did they lose? And I was like, what the Gemara is trying to ask is the following. Obviously, the loss of wings represents diminished spiritual capacity. Tell me, what part, what did they lose when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? It's Sunday, and I would urge you, take the time, if you have the art scroll, you have the Koran, or go, like, there's so much in these Gemaras, it's so much profundity. Some of Chanana, Amarav, Osan Sheomros Shira, to which the Gemara says again, I'm sorry. So now what the Gemara is asking is actually, before which wings, which angels were ultimately diminished? So actually, which wings? So Amarav, Osan Sh'omro Shira Bahen. It's the wings with which they sing Shira. With the wings with which they sing Shira. Say, what does that mean? Ksivacha says over here, Ubishtayim Yo'ofeif, Vikara Ze'el Zev Yamar. Says, with the two wings they will flap and they will say to one another, Uksiv Hitif Einechabo Ve'einenu. Literally, you removed your eyes, and they are no longer. So we'll say, the Gemara understands it's the lashon of Ye'ofev. The shorish of Ye'ofev, hit-if, indicates to us that the wings, which they normally use, vikara ze'el zev yamar, the wings, so we'll say, what seems to be the image that the Gemara seems to be painting over here, is so dramatic. We'll look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi, b'shaim Ye'ofev, v'samach leikra, ezeh, alma, hanach ninu da'amri bu'shira, shemekash kishos b'kol k'nafehem, u'bahanach ksiv e'enenu gabetif. So we'll say, so what does it mean? When it says they flapped their wings, v'kara ze'el zev yamar, it sounds like it's the fluttering of the wings of the malachim that produce the sweet melodic shira. So which wings did they lose? they lost their shira wings. That Rabbah say, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, the Malachim's ability to sing shira has been compromised. Rabbanan say, Osun Shemechas Ospen Raglayem. No. You know which wings they lost? It was the wings that normally cover their feet. Wings that normally cover their feet. Shenemar, V'Raglayem Regal Yishara. The Malachim stand at attention, so their feet look like one foot. V'ilav de'imet mina havayada. So we'll say, it's interesting. Now Yecheskel says, I saw their feet, and their feet were together like one foot. So the Gemara says, were it not that they lost the wings that covered their feet, from where would Yecheskel know what their feet look like? The fact that their feet were uncovered, the Gemara assumes that their feet would normally be covered, because that's a sign of respect. Ultimately, that's how Yecheskel knew. So the Gemara says, Dilma igle vechazile. So one second, maybe not. Maybe they just were stretching their wings. I don't know, maybe Malachim need to stretch their wings at some point in time. When they did so, again, they revealed their feet. That's how Yecheskel saw it. Because if you don't say this, because again, remember, how do Yecheskel see their faces? So do you say also that they lost the wings that covered their faces? It has to be, again, he saw their faces because they stretched their wings, and ultimately Yecheskel saw their face. Why don't you say the same thing over here? They stretched their wings, and that's how he saw their feet. To which the Gemara says, no. No. I understand that they stretched their wings and therefore revealed their face, because revealing their faces is something that is appropriate and normal when standing in front of their master. But Rabosai, to go ahead and what? To go ahead and stretch the wings and reveal their feet, that would have been a lack of respect and honor in front of their master, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the fact that Yecheskel saw their feet indicates that what? That Lamaisa, they lost those wings as a result of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that covered their feet. Kasev Echadomer, one pasuk says, Elif Alfin Yish Meshune. Rabbi says, listen to this. One pasuk says, again, he's quoting over here, still now from Daniel. Now from Daniel. Elef Alfin Yishmenun. Literally 1,000 of 1,000s. Or 1,000 thousands will serve me. This is talking about the angelic host that serve God. Virabu Revavan Kadmohi Yukumun. Another pasuk said, myriad of myriads will be before me, will stand before me. V'kasav echad omer, and pasuk says, hayesh mispar likidudav, another pasuk says, is there any number for their groupings? So we'll say, what the Gemara is putting as a contradiction. On one hand, the first pasuk says that there are thousands of thousands and myriads of myriads that come before God, which indicates what Rabbi say, that as much as it's a lot of malachim, they're still what? They can still be quantified. The other pasuk says they can't be quantified. So which one is it? Rabbi say, look, Kasha, it's amazing. Again, Kan bismashe Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Kan bismashe Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Rabbi say, it depends. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was a limitless number of angels. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the angelic hosts had been capped. As if to tell us that with the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, literally, Rabosai, the celestial abode, the celestial palace has somehow been limited. So, another explanation. Rabbi says the name of Abba Yossi ben Dosoi. Elef Alfin Yishmashune Mispar Gedud Echot. So we'll say, no, what it means to say is like this. The first pasuk that says, 1,000 thousands, myriads will serve me, that is the size of one gedud, of one group of malachim. However, uli gedudav ein mispar. But what? Who knows how many groups there actually are? So we could quantify the size of an angelic group, but we can't quantify what? How many groups there actually are? Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar, elef alfin yishmeshune linahar dinor. Oh, so Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says, no. It's actually referring to two different things. There are thousands of angels, or thousands of angels that serve God in Nahar Dinor. And I will say, what is Nahar Dinor? Rashi says, the Haikrad Gnami Gabi Nahar Dinor Ksiv. Nahar Dinor literally means the stream of fire. Now we'll discuss. So thousands of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels serve God by Nahar Dinor. Shina Emar, Nahar Dinor Nagod V'nafak Min Kadmohi. Nahar Dinor comes out from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The elef alfin yishmeshune, the rabu revavan kadmo yikumun. So mehecha nafik. So we'll say, where exactly does Nahar Dinor come from? Meaning, what's its point of emanation? Where does it start? Mize asan shalchayos. Let's say the stream of fire comes from the sweat of the chayos. The chayos, again, referring to the angels. Ulehefan shafich. And I will say, where does the stream of fire, where does Nahar Dinar empty out to? So I will say, this is actually quite amazing. Amarav Zucha Bar Tuvia, Amarav Arosh Rishaim Begehenam. The stream of fire, Rabbi Osai, empties out onto the head of the wicked in Gehenim. Because the Pasuk says, Shene Emar, Hine Saras Hashem. So Rabbi Osai, Gemara is over here quoting the Pasuk from Yirmiyo. Hine Saras Hashem, the storm of God, Chema Yatza, comes out with anger. V'sa'ar mischolel arosh rishayim yachol. And it will pour out ultimately onto the heads of the wicked. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar, Al Asher Komto. We'll say, actually, you know what? We'll stop over here with Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And again, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is going to pick up Emirat Hashem tomorrow with Nahar Dinar. So we'll pick up again, trying to understand again the nature of this stream of fire. And we'll say again, just a reminder that our schedule from tomorrow morning through Erev Yom Kippur, is going to be, again, we're going to start at 5:45. Start at 5:45. We're gonna have to go a little bit quickly. We'll have to figure out how we're gonna, I don't know, hopefully a lot of siyata dishmaya. So, well, 5:45, Slichos is going to be at 6:25 Emirat Hashem tomorrow morning. Again, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I'll remind everybody of this, is a little bit different. Erev Rosh Hashanah, because of the longer Slichos, so we will be doing the daf immediately following davening. But at least for Monday and Tuesday, again, schedule 5:45.